God, to be in your house today, that we've entered with thanksgiving into your courts, Father God, with praises in our lips, Lord God, with a sense of appreciation, Father God, for all that you have done for us. We thank you for this awesome privilege to be able to speak your word, Father God. I pray that at this moment, Lord God, that you would just prepare every heart, open up every ear, Lord God, for we want to hear from you, Lord God. I have nothing to say, Lord God, but we want your spirit to speak to our hearts. For you know what's in our hearts, Lord God. You know the troubles and the anguishes that we've gone through this week and that we've been fighting with throughout these past few weeks or even months or even years, Lord God. So I pray, Father God, that this afternoon you would just speak to our hearts, Father God, that your spirit would begin to just move tenderly upon every heart, Father, and that you would prepare ours to hear your word. I pray this in the precious and awesome name of your son, Jesus, whom we give all glory and honor to. Amen. 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 Would you open your Bibles with me? Amen. We're going to be reading in Matthew's chapter 5. Very well-known story, amen. And when you have it, you may answer with an amen. Matthew's chapter 5, we're looking at verse 21 through 42. Amen? Jesus got into the boat again and went back to the other side of the lake, where a large crowd gathered around him on the shore. Then a leader of the synagogue, a local synagogue, whose name was Jairus, arrived. And when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet, pleading fervently with him. "My little daughter is dying," he said. "Please come and lay your hands on her. Heal her so that she can live." And Jesus went with him, and all the people followed, crowding around him. A woman in the crowd had suffered for 12 years with a constant bleeding, and she had suffered a great deal from many doctors. And over the years, she had spent everything that she had to pay for them. But she had gotten no better. In fact, she had gotten even worse. She had heard about Jesus, so she came up behind him and through the crowd and touched his robe. For she thought to herself, "If I can just touch his robe, I will be healed." Immediately the bleeding stopped, and she could feel in her body that she had been healed of this terrible condition. Jesus, realizing at once that healing power had gone out from him, so he turned and in the crowd and asked, "Who touched my robe?" The disciples asked him, "Look at the crowd that presses around you. How can you ask who has touched me?" But he kept on looking around to see who had done this. Then the frightened woman, trembling at the realization of what had happened to her, came and fell to her knees and in front of him and told him what had been done. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace. Your suffering is over." And while he was still speaking to her, messengers arrived from the home of Jairus, the leader of the synagogue. They told him, "Your daughter is dead. There is no use troubling the teacher now." But Jesus overheard them and said to Jairus, "Don't be afraid, just have faith." Then Jesus stopped the crowd and wouldn't allow anyone to go with him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw much commotion and weeping and wailing. He went inside and asked, Why is all this commotion and weeping, and the child isn't dead? She's only asleep." The crowd laughed at him, but he made them all leave, and he took the girl's father and mother and the three disciples into the room where the girl laid, and holding her hand, he said to her, "Talita Kumun," which means, "Little girl, arise," or some version says, "Get up." Amen. The girl, who was 12 years old, immediately stood up and walked around. And they were overwhelmed and totally amazed. Amen? Amen. I'd like to speak to you today about these two well-known stories. But before I do that, give me a few minutes so I can read. I just want to read this story that I read. And I thought it was an amazing story. Amen. And it says, The little schoolhouse was heated by an old-fashioned pot-belly stove. And in the 1920s, a little boy named Glenn Cunningham, 8 years old, had the job of coming to school early each day and starting the fire and warming the room before the teacher and the classmates arrived. One morning when they arrived to find the schoolhouse engulfed in flames, they dragged the unconscious little boy out of the flaming building, more dead than alive. He had major burns over his lower part of his body and was taken to a nearby county hospital. From his bed, the dreadfully burnt, semi-conscious little boy faintly heard the doctors talking to his mother, and the doctor told his mother that her son would surely die, which was for the best, really, for the terrible fire had devastated the lower half of his body. But the brave boy didn't want to die. He made up his mind that he would survive. Somehow, to the amazement of the physicians, he did survive. And when the mortal danger had passed, he again heard the doctor and his mother speaking quietly. The mother was told that since the fire had destroyed so much of the flesh in his lower part of his body, it would almost have been better if he had died, since he was doomed to a lifetime of crippleness with no use at all of his lower limbs. Once more, the brave boy made up his mind that he would not be a cripple. He would walk. But unfortunately, from the waist down, he had no motor ability. His thin legs just dangled there, all but lifeless. Ultimately, he was released from the hospital. Every day, his mother would massage his little legs. But there was no feeling, no control, nothing. Yet his determination that he would walk was as strong as ever. And when he wasn't in bed, he was confined to a wheelchair. One sunny day, the mother wheeled him out into the yard to get some fresh air. This day, instead of sitting there, he threw himself from the chair. He pulled himself across the grass, dragging his legs behind him. He worked his way to the little white picket fence bordering their lot. And with great effort, he raised himself up on the fence. Then, stake by stake, he began dragging himself along the fence. Resolved that he would walk, he started to do this every day until he wore a smooth path along the yard beside the fence. There was nothing he wanted more than to develop life into those legs. Ultimately, through his daily massage, his iron perseverance, and his result and determination, he did develop the ability to stand, then to walk by himself, and then even to run. He began to walk to school, then he ran to school, to run for the sheer joy and then running for the sheer joy of running. Later in college, he made the track team. In 1938, at Madison Square Garden, this young man who was not expected to survive and who surely had never walked and who could never hope to have run, this determined young man ran the world's fastest mile, establishing a world record, 4 minutes and 6 seconds, and later became Dr. Glenn Cunningham. I thought that was an amazing story of determination. And I'd like to talk to you today about such determination with these stories, amen, that we read. I often wonder why God would put these two stories together. I've read them several times over Throughout my walk with God, I have read these stories, and I'm sure most of you have read them or heard them many, many times over. But when I read these stories, the word that came to mind was determination. Amen? And I think as believers, it's a word that should be alive and vivid in our hearts and in our minds. I heard many things this morning, amen, about that word. Amen? Praise the Lord. So we have on the one hand, we have the synagogue ruler, Jairus, a very important man, a man of prestige and honor and respected within the community, amen. A man who everyone knew, amen, and everybody knew who he was. And when you mentioned the name Jairus, everyone would say, oh yes, he's the leader of the synagogue, amen. He's well known in this town, in this community, and perhaps even in towns or communities outside of their local area, he was well known, amen. This particular man, amen, came to the term. And I say that at the end of his own ability, when he reached the point of his own ability, he came and made a decision. I'm sure that being a prestigious man and a man known in the town, he had to have known, even though the Bible doesn't relate it, but he had to have known well-known doctors. He had to have known physicians at that time that were perhaps the gold standard, amen, of that time. And I'm sure that he brought them to his house. He says, listen, my daughter has an illness. I need you to come to my house. I'll pay you whatever it is. I just need her healed. Amen. This was his only daughter. And he needed to make sure, as a father, I know I would go extremely out of my way. I'm sure as parents, you would understand that if your child is ill, you are going to do whatever it takes to make sure that your child gets the best medical care, that your child goes to the best hospital, to the best place. Who is the best doctor to treat this illness? I want my child to go to that place. And money is, even if you don't have it, you're going to say money is no object. I'll sell the house. I'll sell the car. I'll sell the condominium. I'll sell whatever I need to sell to make sure that my child gets healed. So I'm sure that Jairus, as a father, went through the same thing. And he brought all the doctors that he perhaps had heard about or knew. And he went through all the rigorous of the natural to make sure that his daughter was healed. But to no avail, his daughter was still ill. So when Jairus had reached the end of his ability, of his own ability, he made a determination that the doctors could not help him. The physicians were of no use to his daughter. I need to go to Jesus. I've heard of this Jesus. Perhaps I've heard him personally speak at certain points. I need to go to him. So at the end of his own ability, he went to see Jesus. Amen? Praise the Lord. It took to get to that point to get to Jesus, to get to the point of his own ability at the end of that. And perhaps some of us might be at that place. Some of us might be at the place where we have gotten to the end of our ability. I look at the woman who had this illness, who also had a situation in her life and who had suffered with this situation for 12 years, who had struggled with this illness for 12 years. And I said to myself, why would God put these two stories together? They coincide with one another. They're different people, but they're going through the same thing. One is for his daughter, the other one is with her personally. But she also got to the point, the Bible declares, that she had spent all that she had, therefore giving you the idea this woman had money. Because in those days, unless you had money, you wasn't going to pay the physicians. And the Bible declares that she went to many physicians. So she didn't just have a few change dollars to spend. She had money that she was able to go to different doctors and say, listen, this is my condition. This is where I'm at. Can you help me? Can you do something for me? And the Bible says that she went to all these doctors, and instead of getting better, she got worse. As a matter of fact, she suffered at the hands of all these doctors. So she made, at the end of her own ability, her like Jairus, made that determination, there's only one place where I can go that perhaps I can find that solution to what I am looking for. Amen? So the Bible says that she went to see Jesus. He went to see Jesus. She went. Secondly, Jairus comes and he comes and the Bible says that he prostrated himself before the Lord. And pleading with him, he said, please come to my house and just touch my daughter. For if you touch her, if you just touch her, she will be made whole. But the Bible declares that he threw himself at his feet. Now, you've got to put this into perspective. He had to have made this decision in his mind that regardless of the circumstances, he had to have been determined within himself that he was not going to count the cost of the surrender. In other words, he's got a prestigious reputation to uphold. He is a man that is known within the community, but yet that did not stop him from saying, I'm going to throw myself at the feet of Jesus. He made that determination in his heart that it would not have stopped him to count the cost of what it was going. He wasn't thinking about what would the synagogue followers think about me tomorrow. What would they say about me in an hour from now when they see me prostrated at the feet of Jesus? He wasn't thinking about that. The determination in his heart was that he said, I know that he has the answer. And because he has the answer, I'm willing, I'm determined to throw it all behind and go to him and throw myself at his feet and beg if necessary for the life of my daughter. This woman was the same situation. If she had money, if you can get the idea that she was someone important in the community, because in those days, if you had money, you were someone important. Therefore, she had people who knew her. She had family members who knew her. She was someone in the community. Her illness, amen, was her illness, but people still knew who she was. But she made that same determination in her life. These guys have not been able to help me one bit. Yet I get worse and worse and worse as the days go by, as the years go by, as the months go by. So I must make that determination that no matter, not counting the cost, whether I'm going to lose my family member, whether I'm going to lose my friend, whether I'm going to lose the prestigiousness of having that level of society that I am known in, I'm not going to count that. Amen? But I'm going to go and go to Jesus. Amen? And the Bible declares that she pressed her way through the crowd. Now, you got to picture this. Because as I read this story, I say, this was tough for this woman. For Jairus, it was the fact that he had to give up his prestigiousness, his position, and he had to throw himself at the feet of Jesus. But for this woman, it was even tougher because she was already weak. The Bible declares that in her weakened condition, in her state that she was in, she had to now fight through a crowd of people. And if you've seen those movies of the story of Christ, you see how these crowds of people, these throngs of people, surround him day and night, amen. And it's not like you can say, excuse me, I'm trying to get. She had to fight. She had to push her way through. And her thought in her mind was, if I could just touch the hem of his garment. Now, I want to tell you that in the Bible times and even today, the rabbis would wear what is called a talit, amen, and it is a prayer shawl, amen, and in the prayer shawl they has these strings that hang down with knots on them, amen, and each one representing the Pentateuch, the five books of the Bible, amen, and it was just a constant reminder to them as they grab it, amen, to just know which one to pray, which book to pray. Her thought process, when you read this in the Aramaic language, amen, it was that she said, I don't even need to touch him. If I could just touch one of the strings of his talit, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, the little string that hangs, that's all I need to touch. That's all I need to touch. If I know, because if I touch that, I know I'll be made whole. And so forth, she pressed into that crowd. She fought her way through, amen. There was no time to be polite and say, excuse me, amen. Can I get through? I need to touch him. I'm sure people were like, hey, where you going? And we're trying to touch him too, amen. But she said, no, I got to press my way. I got a situation going on. I know you want to touch him because you just heard about him, but I need some help. I need to press in there, and I need to go and just touch the hem of his garment. Because there's a situation that I'm going through, and I know that I've tried everyone else. I've tried every other means. I've gone through every other doctor, and none of them have been able to help. In my own ability, I've tried, but I can't make it on my own. I need to touch him, because in him there is power. In him there is authority. In him there is unction. In him there is freedom. In him there is liberty. And that's what I need. So she pressed away and she touched the hem of his garment. And I like this story because the Bible declares that she was immediately made whole. And I like it because it says that she was made whole immediately upon touching him. That was it. That could have been the end of it. But the Bible declares that Jesus stopped. The Bible declares that Jesus stopped. Now I want you to see the comparison of how Jesus reacted with each one of them. When Jairus threw himself at the feet of the master, Jesus didn't say, oh, now you're there, huh? Yeah, I see you. I've seen you in the synagogue other times acting all proud and everything, like you got it all under control. Now you're throwing yourself at my feet, huh? Okay, let me let you grovel there a little bit, you know, and just, you know, yeah, he's there. He's groveling. Yeah, I see him. The Bible doesn't say that. The Bible says that immediately Jesus says, went with him. In other words, Jesus must have come. Let's go. You got a situation? Let's go. Amen. Amen. And for the woman, he stops. And he says, who has touched me? And the disciples are now looking at him. And I said, you crazy? Everybody's touching you. What's wrong with you? Oh, this dude, yo, somebody give him some food. He's losing it. Amen. Everybody's touching you. Everybody's pressing against you. You know, how are you going to say? He goes, no, someone has touched me. And when the disciples told him, you crazy, everybody's touching you. He could have said, yeah, you know, you're right. Let's keep moving, you know. But he didn't. He stopped. And he said, someone has touched me. And then the Bible declares that he stood there. And he's looking. And he's looking. And I'm sure Jairus was biting his nails. Dude, my daughter's dying. We got to move, man. Jesus is like, someone touched me. It was necessary for him to stop and look at this woman. It was necessary. Because not only did she have a sickness in her body, but there was something in her soul that needed that look. that needed that affirmation, your sins are forgiven. Go in peace. You're made whole. Not only in your physical body, but in the spirit man inside of you too. And this woman had been neglected for so many years. She needed that. She could have walked away, and you know what? Her physical body would have been healed, because the minute she touched him, she was healed. But there was something inside of her that needed to see his eyes, that needed his eyes to make contact with her eyes. Just like some of you today, you might need to see the eyes of Jesus. His eyes need to make contact with your eyes today. And there's been that situation in your life that you have been fighting for, that for a long time, amen, that you have been struggling with, that you've been asking God for a while now. And you know what? Some of you are in this place tonight, and you're probably about to give up, amen. You probably said, you know what? I've had enough of this. I've tried, but you've tried in your own ability. And in your own ability, you'll never make it that far, amen. In our own ability, we will never make it that far. I know what I'm talking about. For many years, I tried in my own ability, and it wasn't until I came to Jesus and threw myself at his feet and said, Lord, I can't anymore. Only you can make this happen. I surrender it all. Take it. Sometimes there are areas in our lives that we've given everything to God, but there's that one spot that we say, well, Lord, no, you can't touch this. Mm-mm. I give you everything else, but no, that's my little secret box. That's my little secret place. That's my little secret alcove where it's just for me. It's my little man cave. Amen. And no, we can't have. You know what I'm talking about. It's that one area in your life. You know, and Jesus says, no, it's all or nothing. You surrender everything. If you come to my feet, you surrender it all. Everything goes. Everything. Every area of my life, Lord. Every speck of it. Amen. I can't do anything. And you've tried. Amen. Like I said, we've tried before. We're sometimes a stubborn people. Amen. Because God will tell you, give it all. And we're like, yes, I give it all. 99.9, yes, amen. And Jesus says, no, I want every area of your life. And the day that you come and you surrender it all, the day that you press through and you say, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, if I could just throw myself at his feet, if he could just look into my eyes and make that contact, that day, amen, praise God, everything will be released, amen. Everything will be released, amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. They go on and they press forward to Jairus' house. And you know the story. The people laughed. Jesus casts them out. Amen. But the one thing that I wanted to recognize is that one little part where it says that when he saw this woman, and when he looked at her, and told her, your sins are forgiven. Before he finished talking, someone had came to Jairus and said, don't bother the teacher anymore. Your daughter died. She's dead. I could just imagine the heart of this father to hear those terrible words. And I could just picture him saying, we were so close. We were on our way. He was coming to my house. He was going to touch her, and she was going to be made whole. Everything was going to be okay. And someone just, she's dead. She's gone. And I love this part that the Bible says, and Jesus, overhearing them, turns to him. Now it's his turn. He's already dealt with the woman. Now I got to deal with you, Jairus. And he tells him, just believe. Just. Don't be afraid. Just believe. And that's what Jesus is telling you today. Don't be afraid. It might seem impossible. You can't get worse than dead. You really can't. I mean, we go through a lot of things in life, but dead is dead. That's it. Dead is like the end. It's like the finalness. You can't get worse than that. And Jesus tells him, just believe. Just believe. Because if you believe, all things are possible to them that believe. Because if you trust in me, you will see the great work that I will do in your life. It might look dead. That situation that we're going through might seem like it's dead. It's gone. There's no returning from that. But Jesus says, just believe. I'll take care of that situation for you. If you only believe, I will move that mountain for you. If you only believe, I will move that situation out of your way if you only believe. I will open that door that no one can shut if you only believe. I will close that door that no one's going to be able to open if you just believe. If you just believe. If you could just believe. If you could just get past yourself and believe. And trust in His Word. And trust that what He has said in His Word, He will accomplish. For the Bible says that His Word will not pass away, but it would go forth to do that which He has called it, which He has spoken it to do. And if He has told you, amen, I've given you power and authority. I've given you authority over all the things. That whatsoever you bind on heaven, so shall it be bound on earth. Whatsoever you loosen on this earth, so shall it be loosened in heaven. That's the authority that God has given you. If you could just believe in His Word, if you could just believe, circumstances will come to your life. What makes a difference between a Christian is one that says, I believe in God, and that when things go bad, I can't remember His Word. And the other one is the one that says, I believe in God, and when things go bad, I stand upon the Word. I stand upon the Word that He has spoken. I stand upon the Word that He has said. Because in His Word, there is power. It may look impossible, but the Bible says all things are possible. It may look like I can't make it, but He said He has given me strength to go forth and carry on to do what He has called me to do. It may look like that door is closed, but God says, I can open that door. Knock, and it shall be open unto you. Seek, and you shall find. Search, and you'll find it. Amen? That's what He says. And we need to, as believers, stand upon the Word. I know the situation. Listen, I've been there 1,000 times over 1,000 times. We go through the situations in our lives. We go through the struggles in our walk. Our daily battle is a struggle. We've got to pick up our cross, and every day we've got to press in, carrying this heavy cross, and make our way to try to touch the Master. Every day you should try to reach to touch Him anew every day. Amen. Because yesterday's blessings were yesterday's blessing. Today is promised to no one, but God says, you search me every day, every battle, every struggle, and I will give you the strength to go forth and carry on. Those battles are every single day, and this world is going to hell in a handbasket, let me tell you. And we as believers have to be the light. Someone said earlier, we have to be the light that shines in this darkness. Yes. Don't shun the darkness. You know, you stand there and you look at the situations that we're going through. You look at your life and you look at the world and how it's going. And we say, oh my God, it's terrible. You know what? I'm gonna separate myself from it. Amen. Praise God. And I'm going to be the best Christian that I could be on my own. Amen. But that's not what God has called us to do. Don't shun the darkness. Be a light on the darkness. And with God, you could be that light. Amen. Praise God. With God, you could be that light that shines in the midst of the darkness. Have you ever driven your car in a really dark road? You know, I don't know how quickly darkness travels. I know how fast light travels. But when you're driving your car in a dark road, have you ever stopped to look and you see how the light shines from your car and the darkness disappears? It's like a continuous motion. Amen. That's what we need to be. We need to be that continuous motion, the light that shines, amen, so that wherever you're standing, wherever you're at, amen, you could be that light. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord. At the end of our own abilities, at the end of our situation where we want to be in control, there needs to be a determination. There needs to be a decision made. Amen. And that's what I want to tell you this morning. What is the decision that you would make today? I made a decision a long time ago that I would serve God. With a title, without a title, all by myself, with a crowd of people. But there has to be a determination that if I'm going to do this, if I'm going to serve God, if I'm going, then few things need to happen. One, I'm going to do it right. Two, I'm going to believe what he says. Because the devil will always throw things at you to try to make you doubt, to bring that doubt into your mind. Does really God love me? Is he really here walking with me to my house? Has he really stopped to see me, to look at me? You know, those things that the enemy brings to your mind that makes you think, God is in control of everything in heaven. Does he really have time to notice me? To know who I am? To know that I exist, that I am seeking him, that I want to serve him? Does he have that time, or is he too busy, you know, making sure that the earth doesn't fall off its axis, or that we don't spin out of control and crash into the stars? Amen. But does he know that I am here? And the Bible declares he's willing to stop. He knows you're there. He knows who you are. He knows you by before the foundations of the earth, he already knew who you were. And he had a plan, a purpose for your life, for my life, to do a specific function that no one else can do. And you might say to yourself, I don't know if I can do those things. But God says, yes, you could. I've called you. I've purposed you. I know who you are. I've seen your tears. I've heard your cries. I've paid attention to you. I know who you are. I know you. I know you when you're alone. I know you when you're around people. I know who you are. And I will stop and look at you into your eyes because you need that look. There's a song that says, only a look can turn you away from sin. Amen. And that's what Jesus says. I want to look at you. I want to stop. I want to go with you to your house. I want to go with you to that situation that you're dealing with. Amen. And I want to be there with you. I am there with you. But you need to trust that my word is true, and that if I say I'm going to be with you, I am with you. And I'll lead you, I'll guide you, I'll direct you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord. The Bible declares that he went to Jairus' house and he prayed. He grabbed the hand of the little girl and he spoke a word to her. And he said to her, Talita, which in the Hebrew language is young girl or little girl, kumun. And I like that word, kumun, because in the Aramaic it means arise, get up. It's time to kumun. It's time to arise from the place that we're at. It's time to believe God. It's time to say, Lord, I am willing to not count the cost and follow you and throw myself at your feet. I'm willing to do that, Lord. And he will grab you by the hand and lead you along the way. Amen. Don't let your faith fail. Don't look at the circumstances around you, for they will lead you astray. And know that he will always meet you at the point of your need. One last thing. I like in the story where Jesus goes to the little girl's room. She was dead already. But I like to think that Jesus always will meet you at the point of your need. He will never tell you, go ahead, I'll meet you there. He goes and meets you there at the point where you need him to meet you. Amen. And he's willing to meet you wherever you're at in your life, whatever circumstance you're going through in your life, he has been willing to meet you there. Bow your heads. Amen. I pray that you have the determination in your heart today to keep pressing forward. That you would never waver because of the circumstances that perhaps you might be going through in life. I pray that you can meet Jesus' eyes as he meets your eyes. And that you're willing to say, I surrender, Lord. I come and bow before you. I throw myself at the mercy of your feet. Saying, Lord, I need you. I need you today more than I needed you yesterday. And tomorrow I'll need you more than I need you today. Every day is a struggle, Lord. Every day is a battle. But have the determination to press forward. When circumstances are the adverse, press forward. This is what God will tell you today. Just press forward. Keep pressing forward. Press forward. Press through the crowd. Press through the adversity. Just press forward. Father, I thank you for this privilege to speak your word. I thank you because you're so awesome. You're such an awesome God. Where would we be, Lord God, if it was not for you? Some of us are going through situations, Father God, that I know not of, Lord, but you know them. You know the adversity they're facing. You know the struggles and the battles, Lord God, that we're fighting right now. You know that temptation, Father God, to just say, I give up. I can't keep fighting. Spirit of God, I pray right now that you would just touch every heart, Lord God. Father, that you would just right now, at this very instant, this very moment, stretch out your hand. That they may see, Father God, that your eyes are upon them, that you're looking at them with eyes of compassion and love and understanding. When we don't know ourselves, Father God, you know us better than anyone else. When we don't have the answers, you have the answers. I pray, Lord God, that as we've reached the end of our own abilities, Father God, that the determination would be to reach to you. To reach out and touch you, Lord God. To reach out towards you, Lord God, and say, Lord, I surrender it all. I give it all up for the sake of gaining Christ. Strengthen us, Lord God. Spirit of God, would you touch every heart in this place right now? And would you strengthen every heart? Would you encourage everyone here, Lord God, to not give up, not surrender? Would you touch them right now, Lord God, and let them know how much you love them? How important they are to you, Lord Jesus. Someone here has said, I don't matter. God doesn't care for me. But I want you to touch them right now and show them, Lord God, that you care so deeply. That you love them so much, Lord God. That they're the apple of your eye, Lord God. That you hold them in the palm of your hand. That you have inscribed their name, Lord God, in the palm of your hand. That you have ransomed, Lord God, many cities, Father God, many countries for them, Lord God. Jesus, kinsman redeemer. Touch them, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus, I pray and ask you these things.
Anyone who wants to receive prayer, the altar is open. Anybody who needs a prayer or anything like that, you guys come up, the altar is open. Yes, anybody needs prayer, so everyone stand up. Let's remember the service this evening at 3 o'clock at Resurrection Kingdom Ministries. Pastor Campbell will be the guest speaker over there at Resurrection Kingdom Ministries. All, if you can attend, please make availability to be there. Words about God, thank you for bringing us out this morning, Father God. Thank you for blessing us with Pastor Freddie, Father God. The word was saturated, Father God. It worked through you, Father God. God bless us and come your angels around everybody, Father God. Those who were here were supposed to come here, Father God, you know, but you touch them, Father God. You touch them where they're at, Father God. You meet them, Father God. And Father God, bless the service on tonight, Father God. And we see everybody Wednesday night for Bible study. In God's name we pray. Amen.